1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, and kind of mark that spot. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Mark that spot because we're going to go back there. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Spring break is here. Right, I think, for most kids. All right, praise the Lord. 1 week off. Praise the Lord. We've been studying about obedience. We took a little bit of different route last time I spoke in kind of an honor of Billy Graham, and that title was The Simplicity of the Gospel, but we've been talking about obedience and how important that is in our Christian life. How obedience is very important. And many times we don't even sometimes realize that when we're being disobedient. Right? Sometimes as a parent, you know, you're telling your children to do this and do that and they don't do it and they don't even, it just, you know, doesn't even dawn on them that they didn't listen, right? They're just in their own world sometimes, right? And sometimes we're in our own little world, but God does have a plan. God does have a purpose for our lives, and He does have a destiny for us all. So we're going to continue talking about obedience. You know, obedience is not always fun, right? You remember as a child, it wasn't always fun to throw out that trash, right? That wasn't fun. Obedience is not always fun, but it's always blessed. Amen. Right? So, you know, when you were a child and you had to obey your parents and you had to throw out the trash and do the dishes, right? Anybody remember those days? Right? Yeah, when you were, are you throwing out the trash, Matt? You're in those days. That's good. He's in those days. But you remember, you know, when it wasn't happening, when there was disobedience, right? There was a lot of conflict in the home, right? A lot of turmoil, a lot of conflict, a lot of this or that. But you notice when you begin to be in obedience, although it's not fun, there seems to be more peace, right? There's a reason for that, right? Because the Bible is very clear about obedience is a good thing. Obedience to God's word is an amazing, powerful Red Sea splitting, water coming out of the rock. That's the kind of stuff that starts happening, like miracles and blessings. Those are the kind of things that start happening when you're in obedience to God's word. And I think there's something here that the Lord wants us to latch onto, I believe, as a church, as we get ready. You know, Easter's coming, the springtime's coming, and summer will be here. As we get ready to just do different things and wait on the Lord on certain things, and God puts certain things together, God's preparing us for something, and obedience is big. You know, there's a lot of people who are moving, Christians who are moving in their life, and they're not taking advantage of all the blessings that are in obedience to God's word. And I think that's what God wants us to get a hold of. There's so much there that God wants to do with you, and blessings and miracles in your life. There's so much there, but we have to be cognizant, and we have to be intentional about being obedient to God's word. First, we need to know what God's word's saying, right? We have to read it. That's obedience right there, reading His word. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's not a long sermon. It's just, I just feel we're heading into something bigger than ourselves, and obedience is a big part of that. Obedience in the little things. Obedience. Obedience. So, the act of obedience is very, very key. It's very, very important. But obedient or disobedient children do not inherit land. They do not see God's hand in everything. But in obedience, we will find bountiful blessings. Obedience is not always fun, but it's always blessed. Amen? Obedience to God's word. If everyone in this place this morning was 100% obedient, when we did the ministry lessons on a Tuesday way back, last summer, or I forgot what month it was, there was this meter we filled out in that teaching, right? And it was like, what level, you know, what level is your commitment, dedication to God's call for your life? What level? And if you could picture that same, and the meter went from 0 to 100%, right? And if I ask you this question right now, what is your level of obedience to, not to pastor, but to, you know, God's word? Or not to the, but your level of obedience to God's word. Living right, doing right, according to God's word. And, you know, you would have to put a chart, some of you 50%, some of you 100%, 90%, 20%. You know, some of you are here this morning, so you can chalk up more than zero, right? You're obedient. You're here, and you can, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? Amen. So here you are in obedience to God's word and being part of a church body and being together in a common purpose and vision. So if you had to that chart, you know, where would you put yourself? Well, just if all of us were obedient 100%, right, at the chart, then the amount of blessings coming and signs and wonders and God would be amazing, would be extraordinary. How do I know this? Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and I've been repeating this at the prayer meetings. I love this verse. It just got a hold of me. I'm not going to let it go until it's time to let it go. But how do we know this? How do we know God's trying to bless us? And it says there in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro, back and forth, across the whole earth, looking for people whose heart are perfect toward Him. You know, basically that's obedient people, right? That's people who have a heart to do things right, according to God's word, according to His righteousness. So God is going around the whole world looking to and fro to find people who have a heart, a perfect heart toward God. Looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Why is He doing that? So He can show His great power in helping them. I'm reading a different version here, but it says basically the same thing. Why is God doing that? For the eyes of the Lord to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are perfect. In this version here it says, He's doing this so that He can show His great power in helping them and blessing them. Right? So in God's word, it tells us that God is looking for people to bless so that His name can be glorified, right? You know, that's what God does. He uses you. When you're obedient, He blesses you. And then he does that because He wants His name to be glorified. And so that's how we know that God is looking for people that are obedient, that have good hearts toward Him. So that's how I know. That's how we know. You know, if I ask you to stand and don't stand, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody. And you blame the pastor for not coming to church because he embarrasses you and that kind of stuff. So I don't want that. If I ask you to stand today, everyone stand that has a daily walk with Jesus, that you had one this week. Every day you read your Bible, you prayed, you spend time intentionally with God. Right? Every day this week. And if we stood and said, okay, I did. Okay, you know, we went through that exercise. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, maybe more than 50% of the people wouldn't stand. Maybe half and half. Maybe 10% would stand. Maybe 20%. Maybe 80. Maybe But it would show that we're not taking full advantage of all the stuff that God has and wants to give us and bless us and lead us and show up in many areas in our lives. It would show us that we are leaving. You know, there's this old term. I think it may even be a gambling term. I don't know what it is, but it says, don't leave things on the table, right? Like, don't leave things that you can have. Leave them. Don't just leave them. And don't take advantage of them. And that's the way I see this concept of obedience is when we obey, then God's going to overwhelm His people with blessings. Amen. He is. And He's going to do amazing things because that's who He is. He's looking to and fro for people to bless so He can show the world how His glory, His power. And we don't take full advantage of that, those promises that God has given us, right? And we read the promises in the Old Testament and the New Testament about God telling Joshua, if you are obedient, you will take the land, right? If you do this, if you follow the commandments that I gave Moses, and you do this and you do this, then you will have good success, right? They're all there, all over the scriptures, right? In the Old Testament, in the New Testament. If we are obedient, Jesus says, if you love me, well, keep my commandments. That's basically saying, be obedient to my word, to what I've said. And then we have scriptures like, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the amazing thing God has for His people, right? Amen. Who live according to His purposes. Obedience, right? Obedience. So you get the idea. So as I'm saying these words, I'm challenging you, you know, to write something down, right? Every week, write something down. But don't leave anything on the table. Look at your life. Look at what you're doing. Reading your Bible, praying. If you are too busy to read your Bible and pray every day, then you're missing out. Amen. You're not. You may have a little bit of taste of it, right? Because you love God and you accepted Jesus Christ. But and that's good, right? Names written down, book of life. That's awesome. But this is not a church that is satisfied with just our names being written down in the book of life. We want to impact others for Jesus, right? We want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. And don't be satisfied with ordinary. Don't leave anything on the table. God has an amazing plan. Make time. Don't let time go by and you not putting God first in your life and being obedient in the little things, right? In the things you can control. You see, you cannot, all those things that we pray about that we don't have control over, you know, that, you know, we can pray about that and trust God in that, but there's nothing else we can do but just trust God. But there are certain things we can control. And having a daily walk, a daily relationship, a daily spiritual time with God is something that you can control. Every day. Every day. And when you begin to do that, when you begin to read your Bible, pray every day and be obedient that way in what you can control. When you begin to, even when you're tired that day and you say, I'm still going to take time. Just read and pray. I'm tired, but I'm still going to do it. In obedience, everything will start. You'll start seeing things that you haven't seen before. You'll start seeing God in things where you haven't seen Him in before. You'll start seeing God's hand move for you, on behalf of you. Why? Because it says in His Word He's going to do that. Looking to and fro to show Himself strong in those whose hearts are right towards Him, are obedient towards His Word. So don't leave anything on the table of this. It's a simple message today. Don't leave anything on the table. Just be obedient. Take advantage of His amazing, amazing promises. His promises. Don't get too busy for God. Make time for Him. Let me summarize it this way. If you need God's favor and blessing this morning for something in your life, commit to full obedience to God's word, and your life will overflow with God's blessings. Why is this concept of obedience easier said than done, right? Why is it hard? Because in Romans 3:23, it states, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Why is it not as simple? Why if I said everyone who's has a daily walk this week with God, you spend time with the Lord, and why wouldn't everyone just stand? Why do we still struggle as Christians? Why have we surrendered everything? We've kept a few things we haven't. Why are we still in that state? Because Adam and Eve, they sinned in disobedience. And we're all sinners needing a Savior. And we have a sinful nature. And that's why it's not as easy as it sounds. But because Jesus conquered death, sin, and the grave, when He rose from the dead, we can be obedient to God's Word. Not by your own might, not by your own power. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death. We now can be in obedience to God's Word. But it is very, very important that we don't think that we can be obedient because we're good or we're powerful enough. In our own power, we cannot. But it says in God's Word that in the power of the Spirit of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it tells you very plainly how you overcome sin and darkness in your life. Couldn't be more plain than this. If you want to overcome sin in your life, you can't do it in your own strength. You know, people, you know, you have a habit or something that just you haven't been able to break that you know goes against God's Word. The answer is not more willpower from you or anything like that. The answer is right there in Galatians chapter 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's very simple. If you want to overcome, you don't do it in your own strength. You need the Spirit of God in you. You need God's Spirit to fill you. You need more of Him. You need to be in His presence. You need to have those daily walks with Him. You need to have daily relationships with Jesus Christ. You need. So there's the answer. The answer to overcoming and being obedient is we need more of God in our lives. We need more of His character. We need more of His Spirit. We need more of His presence. So that's how we do it. So you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you have more Spirit of God in your life. Amen? Amen? And that's the power of God. That's the power of God in you. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I told you to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. We have the story of Saul where he was disobedient. And it's important to read this story. And I'm going to kind of read a few verses, so bear with me this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 15, I'm going to read 1 through 28. This story, let's read it. And let me just set the ground before Saul was selected king. And the reason he was selected king is because the people wanted a king to follow. It's like, it's not fair, God. We have to follow a prophet, and everyone else in this world just has a king, and we want to do it like them. And God was trying to tell them, you're not like them. And they pleaded, and God said, okay, that's what you want, then okay, but you know, it's not going to be as good as you think it's going to be. So, of course, God's given us a free will, right? We all have a free will. And He gave them a king, and Saul was their king. And so Saul was anointed king, but Saul had a flaw in his character. Saul wanted to please men, right? He wanted to please people. Saul wanted to be liked. So when we read this story, he does something that God told him not to do because he wants to be liked. He wants to be popular. He wants to do it his way. So that's where we take up the story. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thee unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, and ox and sheep, camel and donkeys. And all and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them to Telaim, to 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait into the valley. So Samuel says, go and conquer this and leave nothing alive. Everything. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, go yet down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you and them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So there was a group of people they told, get out. You're okay. You were nice to us. You get to leave. You're going to be saved. So they leave. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they did destroy utterly. So, Samuel told Saul, destroy everything, including the oxen, everything, right? But here we read that Saul, in verse 9, and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen. So they didn't obey what God told them to do. He kept the best oxen and sheep and animals, and they did not obey. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. And he has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. So Samuel was like, why, Saul? I told you, do this and this, and everything was going to be great. And so now Samuel the prophet, the weeping prophet, right? Samuel just cried all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and it has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. So Saul's having a great day, right? Blessed Samuel, how are you doing? Everything's awesome, isn't it? Blessed be thou, Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Like, I've done everything you've told me to do. The Amalekites are conquered. And here we are. And Saul said, they have brought from them the Amalekites, from the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul is saying, we did everything. Oh, and by the way, we saved the best of the oxen so we could sacrifice it unto the Lord. So he knew he hadn't done everything. He made sure to point out why they kept the oxen and the nice sheep. Because he's saying we sacrificed it unto the Lord. But that wasn't the real reason. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anoint thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst even the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone away which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil. So now Saul's blaming who? The people. See? He knows he's in trouble now. Now he's saying, we did everything. We did it. And then the people who are basically listening to him, right? He's king. But the people took of the spoiled sheep and of the oxen and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice it unto the Lord of God. So we decided to not do that, but to sacrifice it to you. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And we all have heard that scripture, right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But here it's very clear that God said, do this. Here's God's word. And Saul thought that he could change it and make it look like the reason he changed it was to honor God. And God said, I was very clear. I don't need you to sacrifice more to me. I just need you to be obedient. What good is it to sacrifice and fast and pray and say, Lord, I give all of this time to the Lord if we're going to be disobedient with some basics in God's word? And we do that as Christians. I know you don't want to think of yourself as, but we, human, carnal, sinful nature, will do that. Where we will disobey God in this one area because we want to do it our own way, but we think we're okay because, you know, we're coming to church and we're doing, you know, this and that and making an effort here. It doesn't work that way. Amen? See, Saul was just lying to himself. He was fooling himself. You see, it was very clear here that obedience is what God is looking for. The sacrifice is nice, you know, the sacrificing unto the Lord through fasting and praying and time and this, the sacrificing of, I'm going to give this up for the Lord. You know, Lent in itself is not a bad concept, right? You know, Catholics do that, you know, every 40 days and or do it before Easter. The concept is not against God's word, but doing that, sacrificing that, and being disobedient doesn't work. And we can read here what happened for rebellion. And then he goes further to say, not only did you disobey, it's rebellion against God's commandment to you. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Boy, he told Saul, we're dealing with some serious flaws in your heart. Here Saul thought, oh, this is great. We conquered the Amalekites. We did awesome. But he didn't obey. You can do all this stuff for the kingdom of God. You can put on the best show that you're a wonderful Christian, this, that. But down deep in your heart, if there's disobedience, there's a problem. Amen? There's a problem. And we know what happened. And he says, because thou, verse 23, the end of it, because thou has rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And we know the rest of the story. And Saul said, let's read it, verse 24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and he rent it. So Saul's like, I repent, and he says, too late, you're no longer king. He turns away, Saul grabs his robe, and he tears it. And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid upon the skirt of his mantle, and he rent it. And then Samuel said, after he rent his clothes, he said, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. Just like you just ripped my robe, God has ripped you as from being king of Israel from you this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine. We all know who the neighbor was, right? King David. Who rose up in another beautiful story, had his own problems, as we know, but he loved God. I love to read that passage in Psalms where David says, when he found out he was a sinner and he accepted it and he really repented, right? And he it was not like Saul's repentance, like, sorry, I got caught. You know, it was more like, I give up, Lord. You can read that prayer. I almost cry when I read it every time, because it's like, create in me a new heart, you know, restore the joy of my salvation. And he goes on and on and on, and that's what happened. So disobedience leads to confusion, right, and chaos and no peace. But obedience leads to bountiful blessings. So don't leave anything on the table. I'm using that term. I know maybe it's not the appropriate term in a church, but you get it, right? You get the point. Amen. Don't leave anything on the table. Be obedient to God's word. Be obedient in all things. And there's so much blessing there. And real quick, in Genesis chapter 22, here's a perfect example of disobedience and the blessings, right? We know the story well of Abraham. I'm just going to read four verses. You know the story. He goes up to sacrifice his son Isaac, and the angel stops him, and God's like, wow, that faith that you have, obedient. You just obeyed me to sacrifice your son, and wow, that was faith. You believed that somehow I was going to intervene, and he did. And so here we read right after that in verse 15. Here's what happens when you have obedience. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, but because thou hast done this thing in obedience to me, and hast not withheld your only son from me, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and stars of the heaven as the sand which is in heaven upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall be all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I hope you're looking at your heart and you're like, what is that thing in me? What is that place that I need to be obedient? Because when you find it and you put it under obedience, watch out. I mean, God's going to bless you. Sometimes things aren't happening as we pray because we don't even realize that we're being disobedient. So it takes a very humble heart to look in those areas that you're being disobedient. See, I believe as God is preparing us in 2018 to take the land, He doesn't do it our way. He does it through obedience, because that's His way. In Scripture, you see that obedience always leads to blessings. So whatever it is in your heart, whatever it is, as you get prepared to do amazing things, find out what it is and be obedient. If you need God's favor and blessing this morning, commit to full obedience. And as the title of the sermon states, obedience is not always fun, but it's always blessed. It's not always easy, but it's always blessed. In closing, let's read this Psalms 84, verse 5. If you underline scriptures in your Bible, this is the one that someone may need to underline. Blessed, Psalms 84, verse 5 through 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. So blessed are those who trust in the Lord and whose heart are the ways of them. In other words, whose hearts are obedient are the ways of the Lord. Whose heart wants to follow the ways of the Lord. Those who are obedient. Blessed are you, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and rain also filleth the pools. So blessed are you who are obedient, and blessed are you who, when you pass through Baca, which represents trials, hard times, you know, you're not distracted. And verse 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. You see, when you are obedient to God, through the good and the bad, in the trials, like the baka. You know, that's what that baka represents, trials, hard times. When you are obedient to God through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, you will go from strength to strength to strength. In other words, you will continue to advance and be strong for God's kingdom. You'll grow, you'll mature, and you'll take more and more land for the kingdom of God. And it comes through obedience. Obedience. So I don't know, I do know God has things planned for us in the next few months as a church and as a body of believers, and things are happening. But I don't know how God's putting things together for each and every one of us. God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. But what you can do and know is be obedient in your daily walk with Him. Be obedient in being lining up with His Word. Be obedient in the little things. Something happens to the heart of an obedient Christian. It finds a place of contentment and rest. It knows that all things are possible with God. It has stood the test after every trial and circumstance to see that their obedience to God is a safe place to live. When we choose the obedient life, we are permitting God to make our lives all He dreamed they would become. Amen. So when you're obedient and have an obedient heart, you're going to answer that call. You're going to answer the call. You're going to answer the purpose. You're going to be a powerful masterpiece for the kingdom of God. So I hope as you heard this message today, you look down deep into your heart and you take those things that you need to work on to obedience, whether it's a daily prayer life or daily reading or this or that, whatever it may be, don't leave anything on the table. God's looking to and fro right now. He's looking, who are these people with a heart to obey me no matter what? Because when you do, then you saw what happened to Abraham. You see what the New Testament says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has planned for His people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that You're teaching us, you're leading us, you're preparing us. And there are things in our personal lives where we need You to intervene. But Lord, we can't control everything. You didn't build us that way, Lord, to solve every problem around us. But You did build us to have a personal relationship with You. And in that relationship, all is well. In obedience, Your blessings are overwhelming. Though it may not always be fun to obey, as it wasn't as a child, it is awesome to reap the blessings that You have for us in obedience. So, Lord, feel this in our hearts. Those secrets, those things that don't line up with Your Word, reveal them to us. Help us to see what is keeping us from receiving Your blessings bountifully. Lord, we are Your people. We are determined to impact this community for Your kingdom. But Lord, it begins one day at a time, at home, experiencing You, being obedient in the little things, being at peace, knowing that You're at work. So Lord, we just give You this day. We give You our hearts. Teach us Your ways, because we're clear that Your Word states that Your ways are better than our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Him a clap offering. He's worthy. Thank You, Jesus.